Hello and welcome to Retrotainment episode 5. This week we're just gonna come in with the week that's in it, the Royal Rumble, the weekend, one of the best weekends of every wrestling fan's calendar. I don't think either of my
Possibly
two
the
guests.
best.
Yeah, I don't think anyone disagrees with that. Like, Mania is the spectacle and it's the one that, it's the show that you look forward to every year. But the Royal Rumble is where the real business is, because you get your
Absolutely.
surprise entrance, you get your funny moments, and as great as WrestleMania is, it's just, especially if you're going to watch it with mates, I think the Royal Rumble is the one that we all kind of prefer, isn't it?
Yeah, oh yeah,
Absolutely.
100%.
Absolutely.
Yeah. This week I am joined again by Greg Flanagan after his pick of the one of the better boxing films I've seen in a long, long time, did really well. So we said, bring him back. He did well the last time. We'll
He's all right.
keep him on track. And we are joined by the host of King Woe's Court, Carl King Woe.
How we do? All
How you
good?
doing, lads?
All
All good
good.
tonight. All looking
All
forward to
righty.
the Rumble.
Looking forward to it. I can't wait,
I'll watch it. I'll watch it Monday night. I'm in work at 7.
Well, you can just watch it in work, Greg. Have
I can.
it
on the phone.
That might be an option.
I've done
That's
that
hard to
many a
do.
time, actually.
Yeah. If I didn't have work meetings, I'll tell you that'd be on the screen beside me. But I managed to blag my way into the day off, so
Nice one.
stay up for the night for it.
Town boss.
Yeah, a lot of lies to get me that day off, but it worked.
Bad case of Royal Rumbleitis again.
Yep, I tell him every year I got my Royal Rumbleitis.
I hope your job don't look at this podcast now.
So do I, because I've lied to them about not liking wrestling for about 5 years.
Good Lord.
Biggest wrestling fan I know. What do you do? I
Yeah.
don't like wrestling at all, lads. No.
No, couldn't admit that when I walked in, so I just had to keep to that. You
I
can't walk into it. You can't walk into a new job and be like, "Yeah, by the way, love pro wrestling."
appreciate the commitment.
But if you are watching, the lies that I told you weren't actually lies, and I did need that day off.
Everything you've just heard is false.
Yeah, that's just me bigging myself up to the boys.
We can vouch for him that he loves his job and he hates wrestling.
I do
He's
hate
doing it for
wrestling.
us,
This is just for the two boys that I'm doing this.
And the show.
Yeah.
That's actually my t-shirt he has on.
Yeah.
Is this one of the ones you got me?
No.
That's his.
But yeah, so what I was thinking here is, obviously this show is all about looking back at the things from the past that we enjoy, the retro things. So we're not going to pick a specific Royal Rumble or a specific time period. It's just our memories from over the years, the Royal Rumbles, whether they're ones from when we were alive or ones we've gone back and watched. And there's no to know, you don't need to go back to the 1980s. We can if you want, but like, even up to the more recent Royal Rumbles, if there's something that we've enjoyed from that, we're just going to kind of bounce them off each other. So I'll just give it a start that it's not actually to do with the Royal, well, it's not in the Royal Rumble pay-per-views itself, but one of my best memories of the Royal Rumble, as I said, is Greg is one of my close friends. So him and a couple of the other boys, they used to come up to mine every year and we'd watch the Royal Rumble, order in the Domino's, 50% off if you spend over 50 euro, grand, drop the
Easily
50 quid.
done.
Drop the 50 quid, one large pizza each. That's about four large pizzas. You got to get the wings in, boys. You get them right. Get a couple of cookies in. Yeah, I will need a few drinks for that as well. You may as well throw in some chicken tenders or something as well. Go on, and
Then
you
the
end up racking
wedges.
up to nearly 150 quid, which then 50% off back down to 75, sorted. But that wasn't the only thing you got to eat that night, because we always did a fiver in, and we'd pick we'd make little numbers on pieces of paper, put them into a hat, and you'd draw, five each, four each, depending on how many of us there was there. And then as that number came out, you knew your numbers. So you were like, number one comes out. Whoever had that piece of paper was like, yes, I've got Rollins. Yes. And then number two goes, oh, I got our truth. And you're like, well, I'm not winning this. So what did you have to do with that piece of paper? You couldn't just throw it away. The rule was you had to put it in the mouth and eat it. Swallow your pride, because you knew you weren't winning.
That's a good one,
Yeah,
actually.
that's what we used to do. So by the end of the day, everyone would have eaten. They're only little scraps of paper, but it's five or six scraps of paper. And then it was double that because you had two Royal Rumbles.
Oh, yeah, Jesus, the women's one, yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, we won't be able to do that this year. So it'll just be a matter of watching it on my own, I suppose. Maybe jump on with the lads on a Zoom call and watch it. But...
Zoom call, live, watch along would be good, actually.
Yeah, with the boys. If everyone's off, yeah, it'd be a good crack.
I mean,
you're not off, Greg, but you should just stay up anyway.
Yeah,
well, I have to get up at 5 anyway.
Yeah,
so.
You're up at 5, so it'll just end. You have an hour to go get yourself washed and whatnot. Yeah. Go to bed during the day. Don't worry about those kids.
I've done it many a time before 5 o'clock starts.
Oh yeah, I've done it a couple of times.
Not going in before a week of nights.
You're right. But yeah, that's like one of my biggest favorite memories of it. I assume for yourself, Greg, that's one as well.
Yeah, we had great crack up there.
Yeah.
The first year there was 8 of us.
Yeah, it was packed that week, that night. Yeah, there was people sitting on the floor and everything.
Yeah, and then obviously we all threw the fiver in, and the winner takes the lot.
Yeah, and I don't think did we ever have a repeat winner? I don't think we did.
Me, I've won it 3 times.
Yeah, but you didn't win on
back
the trot.
Back. Yeah, did you? I won 2 on the trot.
Oh, did you win 2 on the trot?
Yeah, I won with Batista, and then I won with Seamus.
Oh, you did, yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
I think I've won 1, and then I think Alan's never won.
Oh, Alan won the second one, didn't he?
Oh, then it's Ray. Ray has never won. Yeah. Poor Ray.
And he had 2 chances.
Yeah, eating paper all the time. Yeah. What about yourself, Kyle? Did you ever have anything like that with the boys? Or
It was more. First of all, the Rumble is my favorite pay per view. Well, my favorite match. And I love watching it. We would do more WrestleMania.
Yeah,
parties more so, 5 or 6 of us or whatever. But there was a couple of rumbles where I had 2 or 3 lads over, and Ian, I think Ian was over once or twice for a Royal Rumble. He was definitely over for a few WrestleManias anyway.
Yeah,
but I just love the whole, I know it's predictable but unpredictable as well. I love that, it's
who's coming out next.
Yeah, and I hate that, but what I do hate though is when they try and mess with it, do a 40 man Royal Rumble.
Yeah, stick to 30 is the way. 30 is always the way.
And what was it, the other one, the super showdown
Royal Super Rumble showdown?
Yeah. We don't count that. They're not real. Yeah, they're not real. We don't count them.
Well, I'm gonna cut one of my favorite moments is from one of that, and you can probably guess what it is. Actually,
well, we'll let you lead in with that then, I suppose.
Right, well, one of my favorite. I have, as I said, I have a couple here, but Titus O'Neil running down to the ring.
Oh man, yes,
sliding into the ring, under the ring. I only showed my partner that again the other day. I says, "Do you remember this?" And she burst out laughing. Anyone that doesn't watch wrestling would think that that's amazingly funny.
Yeah, that is one of the funniest things, and it's the way he just there. He no sells it. He just get up, pretend that didn't happen, get in the ring, and everyone in the ring is just like, oh jeez.
You'd actually think it was a work the way he went and went straight under.
Yeah. Looks so clean.
Yeah.
How much baby oil do you reckon he had on?
Enough to go under the ring anyway.
Enough to slide straight under that ring. That is actually, yeah. I was gonna say we'll discount those Saudi Royal Rumbles completely, but yeah, you can't win that. I forgot that.
Just that one moment.
That one moment will allow to come in. The rest of them don't count because they're not real Royal Rumbles, but that one moment that counts.
And that's the only Royal Rumble that fucking Braun Strowman's gonna win.
Yeah. Exactly.
Isn't it though? He holds the Royal Rumble record for that, though, doesn't he? The most eliminations.
I think he's tied with Brock now. I think Brock tied him in the most recent one where he was clearing the ring of everyone before Drew came in. That was good. It's not one of my favorite moments, but I did think that was a good twist on the Royal Rumble because you don't see something like that too often.
Yeah. No. Well, apart from the time Kane done it, but that was over the space of 25 minutes or something.
Yeah, that was Kane in the early 2000s when he was an absolute beast. Yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't be a big fan of Lesnar now, I have to be honest with you, but that is actually another one of my moments. That whole sequence where he was just kicking ass, and then when McIntyre came down and just knocked him over, that was I really like that. It was very, very story driven.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, and it's not something you see. You didn't see it often. There was the odd time where Austin was in the ring on his own, but then the ring filled up. But the ring never filled up with Lesnar because he was.
What was it? Was it Austin? Austin sitting on the turnbuckle going.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
I think Punk did it once as well, where he was cutting promos in between, but it was never to the level, it was only for 2 or 3. It wasn't to the level that Brock was doing it, where he eliminated 13 people and it was still just Brock Lesnar in the ring. I think it is a great moment, to be fair.
It was like a wrestling game at one point, wasn't it?
Just throwing him out and hope for the best.
Well, maybe that was the plan. Maybe it wasn't. Who's going to tell Brock he's wrong?
Yeah.
And if you're willing to tell him, you're a braver man than I.
That's where it goes back to Paul Heyman's show with Inside the Ropes, where he was like, what if Brock Lesnar wanted to do it?
Yeah. To be fair,
who's going
to
stop him?
Who is going to stop him? Nobody. Yeah. Man's a machine. But what about yourself, Greg? What's one of your moments there?
Is it have to go back to 2012 when Dolph came out, was number one, and he's like, I'll fight anyone. And it was the return of Chris Jericho.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's one of the loudest returns I've ever heard from.
Yeah.
If not the loudest.
And it was kept under wraps really big as well. Like nobody knew.
Yeah. Apparently the producer, the music guy, the techno guy, and the lights all knew, and that was it.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Well, obviously Vince. But...
Yeah. But like that's insane because, you know.
He was out for a year before that when he lost the determination to Dolph.
Yeah. And it's like in that day and age, even then it was very rare that someone wouldn't caught a picture of him, you know, getting on a plane or in an airport or getting food or something.
Walking into the building.
Yeah, he was just completely under wraps. That actually was brilliant. Like I think you were up here for that, Greg, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. I had number two as well.
Oh yeah.
I had one and two.
Thought you were onto a winner there. Well, yeah, one winner, one definite loser.
You know, they're getting better at hiding the surprise entrance, I think, nowadays.
And that's one of the things I do love is surprise entrance. You know, they're starting to become a bit predictable, especially in the women's rumble. I think they're quite predictable because you're going to get the likes of
Tori Wilson,
Molly Holly, Lita. Trish Stratus, Lita. Yeah. It's kind of
I think
they don't
really
have a litany there to give you a real surprise anymore.
I think they would have had Stacey Keibler as well, but she was pregnant for the first one, wasn't she?
I don't think she has any interest in coming back. She's like she's transcended the business in that sense. That she,
I'd say she would have came back just for that.
The fourth one, maybe.
I don't think she would now. I think she
not now.
But there's very few female wrestlers out there that were in WWE that I think they can do a big return with. I think like AJ Lee is probably the only real big one that hasn't done a return already for them.
I'd say if she was allowed, she'd do it by her husband.
Yeah, well. I don't think he'd stop her, but I'd say she wasn't too impressed with him being sent the termination papers on her wedding day either. So
then again, he must be getting a little bit over having come back. I know he was working for Fox on the WWE show, but I think things are starting to move in the right direction again.
Well, he has talked about that himself, where if they offered him an insane amount of money, he'd come back, but that's about
whether
it.
Whether we see him again now is a different story. I don't think so myself, but
I hope we do. I don't hold too high of hopes. One of my favorite moments, and this is like one that I always go back to when people ask me, is it's from the 2004 Royal Rumble. So it's when Goldberg was kind of at his peak in the WWE then. And it's when he kills Nunzio, like with that spear in the middle of the ring.
Yeah.
He absolutely brutalizes that young guy. Like, Nunzio's a small guy. Like, and I tell everyone, like, oh, Nunzio died after that. But like, you see Nunzio like 2 years later in ECW 2006 and stuff. And I just tell everyone, he killed him. Like, that's him dead.
Yeah. He's long gone now.
Yeah. But that's one of my favorite things. And it's just because, like, obviously, Goldberg's spear was because he was an American footballer beforehand. Like, he just goes into it big. But Nunzio's such a small guy as well. It just looks so brutal.
That's also like when Paul London was eliminated by, what's his name? Snitsky. Did you ever see that one?
Yes.
And he fucking Snitsky? Torn him inside out.
Yeah, Snitsky. What a man.
Yeah.
Kicking babies. It wasn't my fault.
It's not my fault. But he
cleaned them out.
He did like a 360 and straight down. It was like a moonsault onto the canvas. Like,
well, that was craziness. That was how he didn't break something.
Yeah. But then one of my next ones is the 2000 Royal Rumble, where it took loads of people to eliminate Rikishi. So, you know the way whenever there's a big guy, they always like clamber onto the big guy and they're like, yeah, we'll all get him. And then he always breaks away and like knocks everyone out. Yeah, this one year, that didn't happen. So loads of people grabbed Rikishi and they all grabbed his leg and like lift him and just tip him over the top. And I loved that because I was like, you never actually see that work. You're always thinking, that's the smart idea. Like, get the big guy out.
That probably should work.
But it never works because the big guy always just breaks out.
What is it? They go over on one hand over the ropes and then they push back up.
Yeah, and then they beat everyone. Choke slams, punches, big kicks, whatever their move happens to be.
I know there's another moment I only reacquainted myself with. You remember Daniel Puder?
Yeah.
Remember he got destroyed?
Yeah.
I only rewatched that today, and I was like, how did he survive that? Jesus.
Yeah.
That was a nasty.
Who was it? It's Bob Holly,
Eddie and Chris.
And Chris Benoit. Yeah. Jesus, they chopped him to bits.
Yeah. And it was all chops, mainly chops. And then he also
died.
His chest. His chest was rough after that.
Remember that video?
Chopping him around and then threw him out.
Do you remember that video of the guy that apparently drank the 24 Red Bulls and got in a car crash? And you could see his chest beating.
Yeah,
that was him.
That was him.
Yeah, Jesus. You forget about spots like that because, you know, they're not like big spots either.
But
when you see them, you're just like, Jesus.
How? Like, I know you want to be in the Royal Rumble, but Jesus Christ, I don't think I'd sign up to that.
I don't think he was told about that, to be honest.
No, he wasn't.
He got in the ring and Bob Holly was like, come here and let me chop you. And I just started chopping.
Was it long after the Kurt Angle incident?
It was, yeah. I think it was kind of a punishment for...
It was, yeah. Because apparently those three were three of the backstage at the locker room enforcers. So,
yeah.
So it was obviously done by design.
Made a lesson out of him.
Absolutely. Yeah. You touched on a very good one, and it was one of my top ones, actually, was when Maven eliminated The Undertaker.
Yes.
This was on mine as well.
Yeah, it was on mine as well. There's a common misconception about this that Maven was never eliminated from that Royal Rumble.
He was.
he was. Undertaker beats the snot out of him, puts him back in the ring, throws him over the top rope, and then just continues to beat him, brings him out to where the popcorn is, throws him into that. He's all bloody all over the popcorn. I hope no one else bought popcorn that day.
Half off popcorn.
Yeah, it's a bit bloody, but don't worry, you'll still enjoy it. But yeah, that's a great moment. And it's not just the beatdown, but like, I remember that was just after Tough Enough had aired. So Maven was kind of just...
He'd
just kind of won it. So it was just him getting this like little build up, and to have him eliminate someone like Taker. And yeah, it's an easy elimination because obviously he just runs over, just drop kicks him in the back, and he goes over the top.
It was a terrible elimination at that, though.
That was Undertaker, that particular incarnation of Undertaker being too cocky for his boots. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Turning his back on a competitor. Like, you know, that's not like him at all.
Yeah. And it just shows like that, you know, Undertaker didn't take himself too seriously in that sense. Like, he wasn't like, I can't get eliminated by the rookie. Like, he took the elimination by the rookie, and then he was like,
I'm going to kill the
kid. That kid can, you know, that kid can live off that a little bit, but there's only so far you can get when you say, I knocked it, like, I threw him over the top rope. People are kind of going to forget that a couple of weeks later, whereas even now, like what, nearly 20 years on, 16, 17 years on, people still remember what happened after that, like, because of what Undertaker then did by beating him around. Like,
Jesus, that was some beatdown.
It was. Yeah, it was for so long as well.
0-2 it was.
Yeah.
And they move away from the Royal Rumble to follow him getting beaten down. Like, don't worry about what's going on in the ring. Just watch this.
many eliminations you're missing that.
I'm just looking through my list, and a lot of my stuff's actually more recent. And I'm an old school guy, as you know, Ted. I'm a real old school guy.
I think that's because the old Royal Rumbles were very... I think the old Royal Rumbles were a bit boring in a way, because
they were. Yeah, well,
they were very predictable. You know, Hulk Hogan was going to win, Yokozuna was going to win, and it's just kind of like, this guy gets in. It was just punches and kicks, and then someone will get thrown over. Whereas in the later years, it was more like spots, I suppose. Like, and some people I know won't like that because they're like, it's not storytelling, it's not this. But I think those spots make...
Absolutely.
It's like WrestleMania. You have your WrestleMania moments. Like, people remember those moments more than they remember the matches at times. And the Royal Rumble has those, like, you know, has its spot that you remember. Like,
that's the one time
Kofi Kingston.
It's the one time I allow spot monkeys and spot fests and all that. That's the one time I like all that. Like, you know?
Yeah. And like, Kofi Kingston is a perfect example, because you know he's not winning, because there's no way you're letting him, and John Morrison as well, prior to Kofi, you knew they weren't winning, because you're not letting somebody do a spot like that where it's so easy that they could just slightly misstep and that's the, then they're eliminated. You're not going to let them do that spot if they're going to win, but you still enjoy the spot. Like, and every year you're like, what is Kofi going to do this year?
That's actually number one of the ones on my list. The multiple number of saves from what did he bunny hop the chair?
Yeah,
that's one I have down actually. Yeah.
What did he ran? He ran and jumped off the, you know, where he come out
the barricade the
ramp. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like he could easily miss that.
Exactly. Yeah, that's my point. So you can't, you know, he's not winning because there's too much of a risk to let him do something like that, and then like he eliminates himself, and it's like, okay, we need someone new to win now.
Yeah, and it's all plan B then.
Yeah. There's one where he gets thrown over and it's
Big E catches him.
Yeah, Big E and Xavier catch him, and he's like up on his shoulders and they're like carrying him around, and Xavier Woods is like playing the trombone. Yeah. That's one of my favorite ones for him.
Who was it that remember your man Rose? Adam Rose's.
Oh, Adam Rose, yeah.
His party.
The Rosebuds,
that's it, yeah.
They caught him as well, I think, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, and carried him around and then put him back in.
Instead of dropping him.
Yeah. They've also put pancakes under his feet, haven't they?
Yeah, they did something like that, yeah, and he walked himself back by putting the pancakes under his feet, because then his feet technically don't touch the floor.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they didn't use the box of cereal.
Yeah, I think they just moved on from that gimmick from cereal to pancakes. But well, I'd say if they hadn't, then the cereal box would have been the next one.
Big E used to take it out of his jocks and throw it.
Yeah. Have some cereal.
I have quite another comic moment from one of mine.
Yeah, go ahead.
Back the finish of 05 with Batista and
when they double eliminate them
and John Cena and Vince comes power walking.
The old
and he
double.
Dives in and he tears his two quads.
Jeez, yeah.
And he just
sitting there throwing the orders of his girl.
But the one thing I'd heard about that thing was like he actually walked back. No, yeah. He struggled back, but he walked back.
He's a tough man.
But that just him sitting there barking orders, and you see John Cena appealing with some refs, and then Batista with the other ones.
Yeah, and the thing is that was a complete mistake because they weren't both meant to go over. It was meant to be one touch the floor first.
Yeah,
they messed it up. Happened. Yeah, they kind of messed up.
I don't know if you actually watch it, does Batista not go first? I know one of Cena's go down first, but
yeah, and I think the plan was for Batista to win.
Oh yeah,
and then both his feet actually technically touched first, and they were like, ooh.
"We better reset this."
Gotta have to go on the fly with that.
Yeah, we need to blag our way through this one now.
But yeah, him storming down with his $1 million strut, and he's like,
the double quad tear, and just sitting on his arse, do this, do that.
I remember listening to Cody Rhodes saying it, and he was like, I just couldn't laugh. Or Edge saying it, and he was like, I just couldn't laugh when it was going by him.
And that's the thing, like, it's so hard not to laugh. Like, because obviously it's a horrific injury as well, especially to someone that would have been, you know, in his 60s at the time. But, like, how do you not laugh? I know, like, it's bad, but how do you not?
You have to laugh at something like that.
That was craziness.
Sorry, I know we're taking up a lot of its Ted, but
go ahead, lads.
I really liked was and it's actually going back to the older days, was when Warrior and Hogan met in the ring.
The ultimate the finish.
Time. Yeah.
That was before their Mania match, wasn't it?
Yeah,
that was like
that's what kickstarted it all off.
Yeah, that was like the tease to
because
everyone's down around the ring and the two boys are just standing there looking at each other. Yeah.
I actually really watched that the other day.
Brilliant.
It popped up on one of the memories on Facebook, and I was like, "Yeah, that was good."
Yeah. I'm not a fan of either of those guys. I respect what they've done in wrestling, obviously.
Yeah.
But just that moment, and because I was young then.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not the actual match. It's that moment of the two of them looking at each other. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what the whole thing is. It's not like who eliminated who or.
Yeah, and I love the whole concept of babyface versus babyface or heel versus heel. I'm interested in that kind of stuff. You know,
you don't see it an awful lot anymore.
No,
I think it's difficult to pull off in a sense as well because.
But like, what I mean by that is if two babyfaces want to go after the same title, why not?
Yeah, I think it works better with two baby faces because you need like the crowd needs to decide who they're cheering for, and if it's two baby faces, they can cheer both. But if it's two heels, it's kind of like we can't boo both people. We have to cheer somebody.
This is true.
Well, with that, do you remember when Reigns won in Philly and they tried to bring Rock out to save him?
Yeah, that was a rough one.
The fans really just didn't want it, did they? They were just like, no.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they wanted Daniel Bryan to win the previous year, and he didn't even enter that year. And then they wanted him to win that year as well.
That was the year Mysterio came by in a 30, wasn't it? Instead of Daniel Bryan.
The first time I think I've ever seen Rey Mysterio get booed out of a building.
That was 14, I think. Then Rey left shortly after that.
I'd say he was embarrassed. He was like, "I should have said no to this. Like, why did I let them convince me to come out to that?"
But some of the decisions they make, though, are like some of the decisions, the creative decisions they make over the years, are just baffling.
Remember,
I think that's Vince. It's just Vince is like, they think this is what they want, but it's not. And I'll tell them what they want. And sometimes, and to be fair to him, he's right sometimes, because sometimes we think, like, you used to hear people like, Dolph Ziggler should be champion. And when you look back, you're like, Vince was right. Like, he shouldn't have been the world champion, and he shouldn't have been, like, when he won the world championship, it was great. And then he lost it, and you were like, yeah, but he's not a consistent world champion. Like, the once off was fine for him. But other times, like with Daniel Bryan, he was just wrong. Like, and I think he eventually realized that. But it took him a long time to realize how wrong he Punk,
Give Punk the spot at the start.
Yeah, and he was wrong with that as well.
That creative decision. Do you remember when Lana came out 30 in the first Women's Royal Rumble?
She's not actually 30, she's 28.
Is it 28, isn't it?
28, yeah. And this is one of my moments as well.
Point two.
For all of us, there's the Irish connection, but Becky getting the
she's coming out because Lana's in tatters.
Someone had to pledge my place, you know?
Yeah, and the thing was that Becky had, people kind of forget this about that night, but earlier in that night, Becky had lost her title to
she's tapped out, Asuka.
Asuka.
That was a beast of a match as well at that.
Yeah, deadly absolutely. Match,
yeah. But I think one of my favorite things about Becky coming out is that, like, obviously Lana's been beaten down and she's not entering, but Becky comes out and she's like, I'm in the Rumble. And, you know, all the medical professionals are there and Finley's there checking on Lana. And she's like, put me in. So she's not just like, I'm in, and just gets in. Yeah. She's like pleading with Finley, like, let me in. Like, you're like, and the crowd is obviously really loud and like, yeah, come on, let her in.
A lot of people, I would say, hadn't even seen her at that stage, though, when she first came out, because her music didn't hit until
Finley's go.
Yeah, but they do have screens there, so you can actually see all of that. So people would see. But one of my favorite bits, because I rewatched that today, is she's like talking to Finley. She's like, let me in. She's like, come on, we're both Irish. Let me in, let me in. And he's just, after she says we're both Irish, he's just like, off you go.
Yeah.
And then her music hits, and the noise when her music hits, like, because then everyone realizes, yes, she is in it. And then obviously to win it as well, like, just incredible.
Well, actually, it looked like they were going to give it to Charlotte at one stage, because and everyone was like, oh shit, well, maybe, hold on now.
Yeah.
It's one of the one times the bookies were probably wrong with the winner.
Yeah, I think Charlotte was the heavy favorite.
Yeah, she was 1-4 or something.
Yeah.
But you see, it's nice. It's good swerves like that that make it interesting.
Yeah, and that's where swerve works, because it's a swerve that everyone wants but didn't know they wanted.
Yeah,
Vince is right sometimes. It's just the times he's really wrong, he's really wrong. Yeah,
the big part of that, though, was no one really expected it to be in it after she lost earlier that day.
Well, I think everyone expected her to win. Everyone, I think, had expected her to win against Asuka.
Yeah, that's what she lost, and everyone was like, "Oh!"
And everyone was like, "Whoa!"
Maybe she's not coming, but then it worked the story quite well.
So
I think that's one, like, that's kind of the thing that I knew that was kind of going to be on all of our lists, because obviously the Irish connection.
It's actually the first thing I have wrote down on mine.
Yeah, there's another one for me, and it's only a small segment, but it was in the 2002 Royal Rumble. And Triple H and Austin are in the ring, and they're like killing each other. Hurricane comes down, and he's like, this is it. It's time, my big time to shine. Grabs one, grabs the other, double choke slam. And they're about like, nope, get out. And it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Like, if Kane comes down and does it, you're like, oh shit, he could do it. But you're looking at Hurricane, and you're like, he is half the size of both of those guys. Why does he, let alone get one of them, why does he think he can get both of them?
Because he's a superhero.
Yeah.
But that's what I loved, is that he was so into that gimmick of, you know, he was the Hurricane and he was a superhero. There was no doubt in his mind that he could pick two boys that were, you know, 250 plus pounds each up over his head and chokeslam them at the same time. No doubt in his mind that he could do that. And it's just so funny.
It is actually one of my moments as well, believe it or not.
Yeah. And that's what I mean. It's an innocuous moment. It doesn't really matter in the grand. Like, if that didn't happen, no one was asking for Hurricane to come down and try double chokeslam anybody.
No.
But it's when it happens, you're just like, that's something, like, I remember that vividly. And it's not something, like, I forget loads of stuff about Royal Rumbles. I forget who wins what Royal Rumble. I forget this, I forget that. That's not something I forget. I just remember instinctively. Yeah. Do you remember when he touched a double chokeslam those two lads? And not just any two lads, Triple H and Austin as well. Like, two of the biggest stars in the company.
In the history of the company.
Yeah.
No less. That was brilliant.
So good.
Was that on your list as well?
Greg.
No, I actually completely forgot about that.
Oh, how'd you forget,
it wasn't man? It wasn't until you said when Triple H and Austin, I was like, oh yeah, I know where this is going.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing, when you forget a moment, but then someone gives you the components of that moment,
yeah,
you remember it nearly straight away. Which is why when I said the 2000 Royal Rumble, which is the one where I said where Rikishi got thrown over, I was surprised neither of you boys brought up, and this is another one of my favorite moments, is it's the same Royal Rumble, 2000 Rikishi. And Rikishi's been throwing people out, and out comes
Grandmaster Sexay.
Was it Grandmaster Sexay was the first one out? And he's like, no, don't throw me out.
And then the next Scotty music to hit. Out.
And I remember watching that, and I was like, please let it be Scotty. That's the 2000 Royal Rumble. So I'm like 13. So, like, you know, I'm old enough to kind of get that, you know. It's not random. Like, they have an idea who's coming out. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, please let it be Scotty. Please let it be Scotty. And then the music hits and Scotty comes out and they do the dance in the ring. And, you know, everyone loved it. And then the big swerve. Scotty's doing the worm. And then, bam, Rikishi just eliminates them both. And usually that leads to, you know, a feud. And they're like, you're the bad guy and we hate you, Rikishi. But the two boys just go, what? And he's like, yeah, it's the Royal Rumble. And they're like, it is the Royal Rumble, yeah.
Yeah, that was on my list. The two cool dance.
Yeah, it's a great, great moment. And it was only when I was looking through, like, my favorite moments, and, like, some of them I remember, but I don't remember what Royal Rumble they are. So I was like, I'll go and look up what Royal Rumble they are. And if someone asked me what my favorite Royal Rumble was, I'd be like, oh, I don't really know what year my favorite Rumble was. I now have a definitive answer. The 2000 Royal Rumble is my favorite Royal Rumble because of all the moments in it. So there was, obviously, Rikishi getting eliminated, the two cool dance, Taka and Funaki, with 50 eliminations each. Not that they eliminated 50 people. They each got eliminated like 50 times. And then Taka didn't get eliminated the last time because he got so badly concussed. Which, to be fair, that is disgusting. I hate that clip. But, like, at the time, you were just like, why do these two lads keep coming out? No music, just run down, run to the ring, eliminated. Wait a few minutes, run down, get into the ring.
Well, speaking of multiple entrants, that's the next one on my list.
I think it's on mine as well. Three faces.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
That was brilliant. Brilliantly done.
Yeah. And that was back, like, that's probably one of the first kind of gimmicky bits they did, because I think that was back in 1998 as well.
It was 98, yeah.
Yeah. So it's before, like, there was too much gimmick. It was like the Rumble back at those times was still kind of a straight shoot. Like, you know, they came down. You still had your jokey characters who came in, got eliminated quickly. But there was still quite a lot of stories. But I think that was one of the first big, you know,
I think
a slight nod to everyone. Like,
everyone kind of knew once he got eliminated really quickly the first time.
Like, I think people were just like, that's him gone. And then the second time he came out, you were like, no.
What's going on here?
And then you were like, there's no way they're letting Dude Love come out. And
what
then,
was it? It was within six entries or something.
Yeah, they were all really close to each other. He just kept coming out.
He'd get out and he'd leg it back, get changed, miss the next one and then go again.
I'd say he was tired after that.
Absolutely.
But like, the last one lasted probably the longest of them anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that was brilliant.
Yeah, that is.
What about when Randy RKO'd Nia Jax?
This was on my list.
So
she gets about 15 finishes.
Yeah.
She gets 619. She gets RKO, I think, is the last one she gets.
Yeah, she gets something else as well.
She gets a super kick. She gets something else. 619 and the RKO. And that's one of the funniest moments ever. And it shouldn't be that funny because, you know, it's basically just a load of men beating on a woman.
Beating up a woman, yeah.
But it was all right when she was battering them.
Exactly.
I think what makes it funny is that you don't really see intergender stuff in WWE.
I also don't condone domestic violence.
Yeah.
No.
You don't really see it in WWE. And when you do, it tends to be the woman hits the man, he goes to strike her back, someone blocks it. So yeah. I think it was just the shock of what... They actually went there. They actually let them do all that stuff. And like, she took it well. She took it like
who was it that she battered on the way in?
Orchard.
Oh, yeah. He was coming out. He was doing his dance and she at him.
Killed him.
Yeah.
I have to be honest with you. I can't stand her.
No, she's dangerous.
She's dangerous. And, you know, I don't like seeing her wrestling with any of the... But they're really sorry. Go on.
No, go ahead.
I'm just gonna say I don't like seeing her wrestling with any of the really talented wrestlers, in case she fucks them up. You know,
She broke Becky's nose. She's concussed Alexa Bliss. She's concussed a couple others. What's it? She done something to Mandy Rose as well. Was it there?
Mandy Rose was out there for shoulder. A while.
And what was your woman's name? Asuka's partner that just recently left.
Kairi Sane.
Yeah, she
did. She leave? Did she?
Yeah, she's gone. Yeah.
Yeah, she's gone. Yeah, but I think part of it's her size. Like she's like, and it's not to like, you know, oh she's big, but like she is bigger than all of them. And I think at times the fact that she is bigger, she just doesn't realize in certain ways that things that she can take, other people can't because they're like, smaller frames. Like
the punch that she hit Becky, right? Fine, you could say it was 6-1 and half dozen.
Yeah, that's kind of an accident. It's a ball.
It was a zig and zag, but like to can repeatedly concuss people is bad.
It is, and
it's only going to take one person to land wrong or her to land that stupid Samoan drop or whatever she does now wrong.
I think part of it is just she's not polished the way other people are. Like other big the big guys tend to be like, and this happens with a lot of the big guys as well, like the likes of the Great Khali. I don't know if we heard too much about him injuring people, but you could just see that when he was doing stuff, it was a lot of the other people had to do that work for him.
He looked a lot stiffer than most.
Yeah, and she kind of had to, it's kind of like that with her, that she wants to do the same level of work as the others, so she tries to do it, but she's not as polished as them. And therefore, she tries something and she does it slightly wrong. And that's kind of the problem with the wrestling business, that if something's done slightly wrong, it can be a major problem because you're trusting somebody with your body.
Yeah.
You know, you're not trying to protect yourself, really. You're trying to, like, she's going to drop you on your back and you're trusting her to do that correctly.
Yeah, she was doing some kind of podcast or something there the other day and someone called her out for being, or a Twitter Q&A or something. Called her out for being dangerous. She's like, I'm glad to see I'm living rent free in all your heads, as if it's like, no, I'm not. Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, but she also can't, I think there's kind of a, like, she can't admit, like, yeah, I am, or, you know, oh, I'm sorry for that. Like, she can't say that because.
No, you just ignore the question. Don't put up I know she's trying to be a heel and whatnot, but.
Yeah, she should have just ignored it, though, really. Yeah. But I think that was on my list as well of when Orton.
I love when,
and
when
the way he does it as well. Like he's the best part about it.
Oh, it's one of my favorite moves ever. Remember the WrestleMania where he fought Rollins and he did the RKO up in the air.
Oh, when he went for the ground stamp or when he went for the stamp.
Man. Yeah, that was amazing.
Was it? Oh, the curb stamp. And he
curb
went
stamp.
That was the outdoor one.
And yeah, it was brilliant.
Do you know he wasn't going to do that because they practiced. So. The thing about Randy is he's very meticulous. So if he doesn't think something will work, he'll say no to it. So Rollins had given him that idea. And he was like, okay, I think that can work. So they tried it and they were practicing it. And Rollins said that like they just could not get it. Like it just didn't look nice anytime they got it. And Orton just said to him, we're not doing that. And then somehow throughout the day, Rollins just kept at him and was like, no, it's a great idea. And Rollins and a few others just kept at him like, it's a good idea. Even if it doesn't work, it'll still look, it'll be a cool moment. Like, you know, no one's going to shit on you if it looks bad. Like, and Orton was like, fine, we'll do it. And my favorite part about it is that he does it, right?
And he nailed it.
Yeah, he nails it, right? And it looks brilliant. But it's one of the few times Orton actually loses character.
Yeah.
Because Orton's so, usually so like, in focus for what he's doing.
Viper like, yeah.
Yeah, he never like pops himself. But that was the one time he got that, and he was like, "It worked! Oh my god!" And he was so happy with himself that the ref had to go over and go, eh.
"Pin him!
Don't forget to pin him!" And Orton was like, "Oh yeah, I'll pin him down." And I thought that is just one of the funniest things ever because I know it's not a rumble moment.
Yeah, sorry for bringing it up there.
No,
yeah.
But like it is one of my favorite moments, so I don't mind it being brought up.
I was Randy's brilliant though.
Yeah. There's one other moment from the 2000 Royal Rumble, and I know I keep bringing it up, but it's Road favorite. Dog. Yeah, well, I didn't think it was my favorite until I noticed how many of my favorite moments were in the 2000 Royal Rumble. It's Road Dog. So Road Dog spends 20 minutes in the Royal Rumble, and like 18 of those minutes is Road Dog in the corner, the far corner, the furthest away from the camera, with two arms wrapped around the ropes and two legs wrapped around the rope. And do you know the way people do that? Like they get thrown over the top and they're like, "I'll do this to hold on." Nope. Road Dog slid into the ring, hit a couple of people, walked over there, cinched up. The match went on. Somebody came near him. They started like hitting him, trying to get him to let go. Then they gave up on him, went and fought somebody else. He let go, went over, hit them in the back a few times, right? Back to my position. 20 minutes. Imagine, like, that guy got paid money. And all
lie down.
Lie down and hold onto that rope. And you know there is no way that somebody told him to do that. No way. You know he was told, "You're not winning. Just stay in there for, you know, a decent amount of time and then you'll get thrown out." Mm-hmm. And he was just like, "Well, I'm not taking any bumps."
Very good. It was a very good...
Yeah, and it's just so funny. And, like, I never thought that there was a Royal Rumble that was my favourite because I've enjoyed so many of them so much. But then I looked and I was like, why do I enjoy that Royal Rumble so much? And I think that's also the one where there was loads of weapons. I think it's the one where Kane made 11 eliminations. Now, one of them he didn't eliminate because it was your man, Pete Jim Rose. Carey.
Or was it? Yeah,
Pete Rose. And Pete Rose is just like, I'll just get out of the ring. But he couldn't get out of the ring because he's not a wrestler, so he doesn't really understand. So he's like clambering over the top rope to get himself out. So funny.
No, I think I need to go back and rewatch that one.
Yeah, that's the thing. I didn't think it was my favorite Royal Rumble, but then I looked at all these moments and I was like, I remember this. What year was that? Oh, it was 2000. I remember this. What year was that? Oh, that was 2000 as well. And I was just writing them down. And I was like, I've written down 2000 here a lot.
My favorite result of the Royal Rumble was the 95 one. Obviously, Shawn Michaels being my favorite wrestler. Pillar to post.
Yeah. Mm. That's one of my favorite as well. And one of the things I love about it is that it's Shawn is number one. And he came out and he was number one and he wanted to be number one because, you know, he got to make the big entrance and he got to be... But then Davey Boy was number two.
And they got to the end, yeah.
And it's both of them to the end. It's not just one because, you know, like you've had...
Jericho and Dolph got to six and four.
They got to the end, like Benoit obviously goes one to the end, but it's not Benoit and whoever he said. Mysterio goes two to the end. Which...
I feel a little bit sorry because technically the match can't start without... one and two in the ring.
Yeah, exactly. So like Rey Mysterio didn't go from one to the end and you're like, he was number two, but the guy who was number one didn't do anything extra. Like Rey Mysterio did exactly as much work he was number two though.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're not forced, you're last, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But the match doesn't start, so your time in the ring doesn't start until the bell goes.
Yeah, exactly. So Rey Mysterio did go from number one to the end, but no. Number two, sorry, you're right.
What was he? What was that? Was that the 65-minute one?
That was the longest one up until Jericho then broke that record.
Yeah, I'm always sad that they never gave Jericho one.
Yeah, I think it's the one match he hasn't really ever... That and I think the Money in the Bank are the ones he hasn't won.
He made the Money in the Bank, didn't he?
He came up with the concept for the Money in the Bank, yeah.
But, you know, the Shawn Michaels one was brilliant.
I think that's also the one where they had to change the rule to 2 feet touching the floor because Michael skinned the cat and let one foot touch the floor and they were like, it's 2 feet has to touch the floor.
Yeah, they keep shoving that down your throat now because of that match. Yeah.
When it happened, you could hear the commentary and they were just like, did Michael's feet touch the floor? And they're like, no, only one touched the floor, only one. And they're just like, that wasn't the rule before.
Yeah. But I'll tell you what, though. Imagine being there, 48 minutes or something, and you've gone through whatever, and still to be able to skin the cat to get back up.
Yeah. Oh, it's incredible.
Incredible.
But yeah, that was actually one of mine as well, because I'm a huge...
You can...
Shawn but Michaels fan as well.
You can see it though when he's won it and they're trying to pick him up to put his arm up. He just can't stand up. Like there's sometimes you see people doing it, like when Batista won it in what 2015 or whatever, he throws himself to the ground. He's only been in for about 7 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you see Sean, he's been there. You can just tell he just couldn't stand up. Like he was like, nah, I'm done.
Yeah. There's another one for me that's from that year. So like 97. And it's Austin winning.
The first one.
I think this is Austin's first win.
Yeah.
But it's also the one controversial win of Austin's because he gets eliminated. And just the refs were looking. So the refs are looking at somebody else who's complaining about his elimination. So Austin, Brett eliminates Austin.
Oh, he gets back in.
He just realizes no refs saw that. So just no VAR, right back in the ring with me. Yeah. He eliminates Undertaker and Big Show. Is it Undertaker? It's definitely Big Show and it's two big guys. I think it's Undertaker and Big Show and he eliminates them and then Brett eliminates whoever else was in the Rumble. And Brett has his back to him and Austin just runs over and just dumps him over. And I like that because, you know, they went with the obviously refs can make mistakes. So that was kind of the first time that we've seen like, oh, ref can miss something. So he slides back in and he wins. But then it's what that led to as well because that was the double turn. Yeah, that was the double turn. But you could also see why Brett was pissed off because he was like,
I've been screwed again.
I won the Royal Rumble. They're like, nah, Austin won the Royal Rumble. Sorry, mate.
Yeah. Didn't say it.
Yeah, Brett screwed Brett.
What is it? What you know and what you can prove are two different things. Yeah. It's not like there was cameras all over the place.
My favorite actual match is the 92 one with Ric Flair, when Ric Flair wins.
He wins the title, doesn't he? That year?
Oh, yeah. I love it. Because it's more to do with Bobby Heenan's commentary.
Yeah.
If you go back and watch it, it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. You know, it's not fair on Flair, all this kind of thing. It's comedy gold, but it's you know, it keeps you engrossed for the whole thing.
That man's a genius, though, on the mic.
I think that's what's missing a lot from commentary these days is someone like Bobby Heenan, who he's serious when he needs to be serious, but he makes the jokes when he needs to. And King used to do it as well. And I know people look back now and they're like, it is cringy when you go back and listen to King now and you're like, a lot of these jokes are basic. Yeah, like that guy's just a pervert. Like, that's a bit creepy. Like, these women are like
puppies.
You're like, those women are like 20 and he's in his like 60s. It's a bit creepy.
He probably got away with it because he had a legitimate background in wrestling, you know.
But I think
not that it's excuses.
But like back then it was kind of like
the norm.
Not even that it was normal, like, it was accepted, and the women in professional wrestling at that point were just, you know, objects to be looked at. Like, and you know, we can say that, you know, that's not nice, and you know, that's fair enough, but you can't rewrite history either. Like, that's what it was, and it was accepted then
the business for women has transcended.
Thankfully, it has improved from then, so I don't want to see King doing that, but back then that was accepted. But at least the jokes were there, and he used to do them with stuff like Triple H and stuff as well, you know, where he'd be like, it's not fair on Triple H, and then Triple H would cheat and he'd be like, woohoo, that's great. Yeah. He didn't cheat. And I think that's missing from commentary now is that they're all trying to be the straight shooter, where I think it's okay to have somebody be like I've got my favorites.
Do you remember then it was Michael Cole that used to do it for all the heels?
For the heels.
It was just no matter what, who it was.
Yeah.
But that's it. He did no wrong. That's not fair.
Yeah. I don't think it has to be. I don't even think it has to be a heel, because I know Bobby kind of did it for the heels more than anything. And I think it works better when it's done with heels. But I think having somebody that kind of has that jokey side to them well on commentary does add to the commentary as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did love that 92 Royal Rumble. And I know the idea that you get the chance to go to Mania is brilliant. But I loved that because it was for the world title as well.
Yeah.
So it had that extra bit on it. It was like, this isn't just a shot at WrestleMania. Like, you still get
for all the gold. Yeah.
You still get the main event of WrestleMania because you're now the champion. So you're going to be the main event of WrestleMania because you're the champion. But now it's not a chance to become the champion.
You're not likely to lose it.
You are the champion.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I love that one as well. Yeah.
I love the selling that Rick does in that it's just classic Ric Flair. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Everything Ric Flair did was classic, though.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's when you look back at his body of work, like things like not just that Royal Rumble, but like back in that era, you can see why he's considered to be
one of the best.
One of the very best, if not the very best. Because you see what he could do. Like, a lot of younger people now only see Ric Flair as, you know, what he is now.
Guy.
Yeah, like, he's older. Yeah. And, like, even if you only saw him in, like, the late 2000s, like, 2010 and like 2010 and onwards, he had to slow down. Like, he had gotten on in age, so he couldn't do everything. But when you go back and watch him in the 90s and, like, the 80s, you see just how good he actually was.
Yeah. But then you think back even then to his last match with Shawn Michaels. Like, he must have been, what, 60?
Yeah, and that's a great match as well.
Oh, he put that on. Like,
yeah, he did. And he could still go, but it was just he couldn't go as often. Because
that was the year, wasn't it? It was 3 months before he had a match, so he was training. And that was
that was the last match. He was his retirement match. We put in air quotes because all he did was go to TNA.
I'm a big Triple H, Mark.
Me too.
I get ragged about it from me.
So do I, but I can't say that. Yeah. I'm not like it.
Well, I am. I love him, but I love when he came out and eliminated Roman Reigns when he won the title.
That was what, 2016,
yeah.
Because I don't even think I was expecting it. So, and like, I think
everyone thought Reigns was winning that year, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I think as Triple H went on, his work got better.
Yeah, when he slowed it down to more meticulous pace.
Yeah.
And where he was really punishing, you could see the moves were punishing people.
Yeah. So much more believable. I love believable wrestlers.
Even the shots, like, you could see he was putting force into it rather than just like a little slap. Yeah. Like, when The Rock does it, when he lays the SmackDown, you can tell they're not really doing that.
Yeah.
But, like, you can see people selling Triple H's solid right hands. Like, even when he sold, when he used to do the face buster.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just speaking on Triple H, it's not actually a Royal Rumble match itself, but I think it'd be remiss not to mention it. Again, Royal Rumble 2000, but him and Mankind. Cactus Jack.
That had one of the best promos.
I think it's one of my favorite promo packages ever.
Where Mick Foley's like, I can't do it as Mick Foley, but I have a friend who can do it.
Yeah.
His name's Cactus Jack. And you can see Triple H and he's like, oh no.
Oh no.
Yeah. That was brilliant.
Yeah.
That might be my favorite promo.
It's that, or I think Austin's and Rock for 17.
Or
Cena and Punk for Money in the Bank. Or, they're like my three top at the moment, I think.
Or even for me, then it'd be Triple H and Orton for WrestleMania. Remember when Orton punted Stephanie and kissed her, and then he punted Shane and punted Vince.
Yeah,
the punt machine he was.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, there's stuff like that. There's one thing I also had written down here, and it was at a time where he wasn't. You know, now he's looked back at and everyone's like, "Ah, no, we do like him now." But at the time he was hated. And it's 2008. And it's John Cena.
Yeah, his return. That was the one in Square Garden, wasn't it?
Yeah, huge return. The noise when he returned. And
what was he, 4 months gone or 5 months?
He was gone for 3 months with this surgery that was meant to keep him out for a year. And he came back.
Torn pectoral muscle or something, wasn't it?
Nobody expected him back. And when his music hit, that place erupted. And that's at a time when people were kind of starting to get sick of him. But you can tell that nobody was sick of him that night because they were just like, oh my God, I can't believe he's back.
That was the one with like the metal sheets between.
He came out number 30 and won it that year. And it was the right choice because when you hear a pop, I'd say even if he wasn't meant to win it, I'd say Vince heard that pop and was like straight into the referee's ear, tell everyone in the ring that John Cena's winning.
It ended up being him, Batista, and Cena, didn't it?
Yeah,
it did.
And they thought the two lads were gonna hammer at him, and
Oh, that's it. It was absolutely amazing. There's also one, like, so as we say, there's always the surprise entrance, and my one's from quite recently, but AJ Styles.
That was we were in your house for that. Yeah. I remember it was popping up on Facebook that he'd arrived in thing, and me and you were looking at it and we're like,
he'll never join them. He's probably just there to, like, you know, meet someone that he's friends with. No, he's never going to join them. Never.
To be fair,
and then they kind of ruined the moment.
The camera work, panning terrains.
But they've fixed that now. Like if you go to like if you look up WWE and like on YouTube and they show like their best moment
Rumble moments, yeah.
Rumble moments. They now have it so it pans to Reigns and Reigns has that face, you know, where he's like,
and then it cuts back. This?
Which I actually think is good. I think that face is particularly good because you shouldn't know that music. Because why would Roman Reigns know that music? Because one, that's not what AJ Styles' music was before.
Yeah. It's
brand new music. So you wouldn't know it. So I think that face from Reigns is very good. It was just the fact that they stayed on Reigns until AJ already out.
I don't even think it was until he was out. I think it was until I Am Phenomenal came up on the screen and people realized who it was.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, they needed to pan back before that I Am comes up because they pan back and it says I Am and then it says Phenomenal as they pan back. But you needed to be there looking at that because you were
it could have been anyone.
No. And then you see Phenomenal and they're like, is that AJ Styles? The only thing I would change about that is if they had used his old music, and I know for licensing reasons they obviously couldn't. But if they'd used his old like TNA music or something,
the place would have erupted.
Yeah. But I think maybe it was smarter to not do that and to let the pop be when the word Phenomenal came up on. I think they probably were right to do it that way.
Yeah, but that's
one of my favorite moments to watch.
We were in your house for that, yeah. That was
I just did not think you'd ever do that. And one of the lads I'm mates with from college, he's a big wrestling fan as well. And I remember I was on the phone to him and I was like, I text him before the Rumble and I was like, are you staying up for this tonight? And he was like, no, I'm in work in the morning. And I texted him when AJ came out and I didn't tell him, but I was like, the message I sent him was, no matter what you do, do not look up any spoilers for the Royal Rumble. And he was like, oh, I'll probably just read about it. And I said to that, I said, do not look up anything. And I was like, just get up and just watch the Royal Rumble. Because AJ's like, what, number
three?
So it's like, just watch the first 10 minutes of that Royal Rumble. No matter what, just do that first. And he did, and he texted me, and he was like, oh, my God.
He came in, and he done a lot of good work in that. That's where it started with him and Jericho.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That set up the WrestleMania match.
Yeah. But that's what I love, like, those surprise entrants. That's one of my favorite parts. Where you'd get like him, and then sometimes you get the older guys who you haven't seen in forever. Edge was a big one last year. Now that was
last year was amazing.
Yeah,
he looked fantastic.
The video kind of knew as well. Like you kind of knew he was coming back, but you were like,
until you saw him there.
He done it himself though, didn't he? Remember I showed you the picture. I said he sent out the picture of him in the hotel room with a bag that looked like his boots in it.
Mm-hmm.
And he still questioned it a couple of times.
Will he actually come out? And then when he did, you were just like, is he just being an arsehole?
Yeah. The video of your man that was in like where they come out and you see him video, he's like, oh my God, it's Edge.
Yeah.
He's running and back and forward.
That is the reaction you'd have, like, because when you're sitting at home, you don't have a reaction like that. No. Like you get excited when you're at home and you're like, oh my God, it's Edge. And like you jump up and you're like, yes.
Yeah.
But when you're at something like that live,
you go ballistic,
something like that, you're like, oh my God. And everyone else is doing it, which just ramps up your energy as well. Yeah. Like it's
One of the funnier ones though was when Diesel came back and you hear Michael Cole's commentary, he's like, oh shit.
Oh shit.
That Big was Daddy good. Cool Diesel. He tries to get away with it, and you're like, "Nah, pal. Yeah.
Don't even cover for yourself. Just let it be known that you did it." You know,
and then it looks like you didn't actually know he was coming.
Yeah,
but how do you have the stats? You know what I mean?
I would like if they didn't know that. I would like if they didn't tell any, like, if they don't tell anyone who's going to be in the Royal Rumble. Like, obviously, you know, the certain people, like, you know, they're going to be in the Royal Rumble. They've announced it. They're going to be in it. But like those surprise entrants, I think they should be kept a surprise from everyone. Like Michael Cole should not know.
What they should do is like hand them a list of possible entrants and, you know, like the details, the weight, the height, and be like, there's the possible list.
No, so, I think they should just give them the list. Like, this is who's coming in number one, and you have that name, you have this name, and then it just has like question marks for number three. That's it. You just don't know. Like I don't think Michael Cole or anyone should know anything because they have the earpieces. So if they need information, they can just ask for it.
Yeah, and stay quiet for about 10 seconds and be like, "Oh yeah."
Yeah, I don't think they should be told when there's a surprise, because I love not knowing who's coming out. And then
another big return for me then was Bubba Ray Dudley.
Oh yeah,
that he was came back. They were in Philly. They're in Philly, I think. Yeah,
that wasn't the Philly one, was it?
I think it was.
The one with Rock.
I think it was. I think
might
that
have
was...
been 2016. Yeah, it might have been. Yeah,
I think they were in Philly because that's why they brought him back, because it was Philadelphia, like ECW.
Well, he'd just signed back with him as well, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was brilliant when he came back. Like the place erupted.
Yeah.
But he came out with the whole, remember the stare that he had when he used to put people through the tables.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was so funny.
He just put either Stacy or Trish through a table. And he's like.
It was orgasmic to him, Greg. He couldn't help himself.
It was like touching rusty spoons.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, I don't blame him, to be honest.
No, he does.
Go and pick one of them up, put them through a table. All right.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Do you have any other ones, Carl, that weren't mentioned there?
We've gone through all of mine.
I think we all had a list, but then ended up just most of our lists are just
the same.
One other notable mention though was seeing Finn Balor in the Rumble.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And getting to the last four.
Yeah. And
Nakamura. Nakamura won it. No, it wasn't that. It was two. Was it?
Cena.
Cena was one because he goes out Cena second last.
Was it Cena and Orton?
I think it might have been, actually.
I think it might have been Cena and Orton.
Yeah, because it went. Balor went. And then.
You didn't think Cena Nakamura went. Was winning it. You were like, no way Nakamura wins this.
Yeah. And then he was it? It might have been, yeah. No, was it Batista?
No, because Batista would have been Guardians of the Galaxy at that time, I think. Filming, like.
Because I remember
it was definitely someone that you expected was going to be with the winner, and it wasn't going to be Nakamura.
Check that before we finish.
I think since we've given Becky and Finn their mentions, it's a bit sad that old Sheamus doesn't get the mention. Like, he's won a Royal Rumble.
He won the first one.
But like it's not one I look back on massively, and I don't know why, because he is Irish, so there's no reason I shouldn't be like, yeah, like obviously Becky, it's just that she's Irish, but Finn is obviously from Bray, which is where myself and Greg are from originally as well. Mm. So like we have that extra connection, but I should still feel that connection with Sheamus, but I somehow just I don't know I just don't, and I do like Sheamus as well, like
yeah,
like when. Especially when he teamed up with Cesaro. I thought that was great. Yeah.
World's greatest. Or no, what was it? He had to come out. Remember, like the two from Space Jam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was great. Oh, that was actually one of my favorite moments. Not to do with the Royal Rumble, but what a moment when the two boys came out as the lads from Space Jam. Yeah. It's weird that he doesn't get talked about in the, like, I know Greg isn't really in the Irish wrestling scene. I don't know that you follow it too closely either, Carl.
No.
But like, I'd follow it quite closely, and he doesn't really get talked about.
No.
Yeah, he just doesn't really get the mention the way that Becky.
He did start in Irish whip wrestling, didn't he? I think
he did. Yeah, and I don't know why he doesn't get the mention the way Balor or the way Becky does, and now the way that obviously Jordan, Jordan gets quite a bit of a mention, and you know, Jordan was in OTT, so like OTT was the biggest program, and everyone loved it. And then obviously the likes of Aoife Valkyrie, who's starting in NXT UK, and if they make it to, you know, they're obviously in WWE, but if they start making it to Royal Rumbles and big pay-per-views like that, like they'll get that love and they'll get that mention.
Absolutely.
But it's just like Sheamus is kind of just like the forgotten child, like put him over there in the corner and don't talk about him. And maybe it's just because he hasn't endeared himself to the fans in the way they have. But,
I think maybe, yeah. But I personally like his work, you know.
Yeah, I like his work, but it's just maybe it's just outside of the in-ring stuff, he just doesn't endear himself the way the others did or something. I don't know.
Just checked. The last four was Reigns, Cena, Balor, and Nakamura.
Reigns, yeah. So someone you thought would like...
That's who he eliminated, yeah.
Yeah, you're like, it's just going to be one of them, isn't it? Like, yeah, we all want it to be Nakamura, or we all want it to be Balor, and it's not.
When Balor went, then Cena went, and it was like Reigns had hit the Superman punch, and
yeah, you were just like,
out of nowhere, he hits that kick, and then he plants the
The Kinshasa.
Kinshasa.
Yeah. Kinshasa. That's actually a legitimate finisher, though, lads. If he kicked in the mouth.
A big knee to the side of the head.
Same as the Claymore kick.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially a guy that size hitting you with a Claymore kick. You put you down.
Someone that size should not be able to move and jump that high.
Yeah. But in, like, obviously those are all the, like, that's our favourite memories and stuff, but with it being Royal Rumble season, is there anything you think could happen in this Rumble, like returns or surprise entrance? Is there anyone you're thinking?
Booker T.
I think Booker T is a good shout because they have that guy doing whatever song that he did with Booker T as well. I think Booker T is a good show.
I'd love to think, I don't think, yeah, obviously he was injured or something. Mark Henry. I'd love if Mark Henry came back even just for a couple of minutes. But Joe, wasn't he on a little scooter a few weeks ago?
Yeah, but I don't think
Randy Orton going around, get out of here. I don't think he was injured.
I think that's the thing. Everyone thought he was injured, but apparently he wasn't injured. He kind of thought that was funny. Like, what a legend.
I love Mark Henry. Do you remember, sorry for cutting away from Royal Rumble, remember the promo we did with Cena?
That's his retirement.
That's probably one of my favorite.
I rewatched that there like 2 weeks ago as well. What a retirement.
Oh, with the salmon jacket. Oh my God.
No. When he mentions his, like, his wife and kids, and someone goes, "May Young," and he's like, "No, not May Young."
Yeah. That made it feel like a real.
It made it feel real. Yeah. He did it so well.
There's been a couple of great promos. I went back and watched the one where, remember when The Rock came back and he was talking to everybody. He's talking to Big Show and he's like, "Yeah, do you remember when I won the Royal Rumble?" And he's like, "I won the Royal Rumble." And he's like, "The director of the Scorpion King told me that he was going to pick whoever won the Royal Rumble. It should have been you." Big Show just snaps the laptop.
That was a good moment.
Yeah, and he's going around just busting people's chops.
But is there anyone you're like, Cesaro? I've heard sneaky mentions of Cesaro, but I don't think that's going to happen. But I'll tell you now, if Cesaro won, I would love that. I don't think it will be. I think that's just, you know, the rumor mill is just going there.
It's a tough one, actually.
I think one of the surprises I think that's going to come back this one is Rollins.
Yeah, he will be back.
What about if Lesnar came back? I know he won't, but imagine if he did.
Yeah, and see, I'm worried about that. Because if Lesnar comes back, then I think what's going to happen is Goldberg. It's going to be him and Goldberg at Mania for the title. So I'm going to be scared. Happen. Yeah, exactly. Which is why I don't want Lesnar to come back. Because I don't dislike Lesnar. But I know that if Lesnar comes back, that's what I'm getting at WrestleMania. And I do not want that at WrestleMania again.
Right. Well, here's the thing. If he comes back, does he align himself with Paul again?
No.
And Roman Reigns?
No.
Yeah, see, that would be interesting now. That'd be
where they turn Reigns back babyface.
Yeah, and I don't think Reigns isn't ready to come back babyface. He's too good as a heel at the moment.
Best.
Right, we pick a winner.
Yeah, I think Daniel Bryan in the males is probably a pretty good show.
That's my pick.
It's him or Rollins for me, because I think Rollins is a foil to Reigns, because obviously they have the Shield connection from years ago, and Rollins has been gone a while, and they're not going to, I don't think they're going to bring him back with the cult leader thing. So I think it didn't really go, did it? I think it worked really well for the time, but like it's done now, I think, and I think that could be a good show.
I think it was a pity when Akan and Razor got injured or whatever.
Yeah.
Because they were great. They like that kind of group just came together naturally. It was deadly the way it came together. Like
Authors of Pain or something, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Having Buddy Murphy where he was like losing all the time.
Yeah.
And then Rollins brings him in. Yeah, that was great.
Is he with Mysterio's missus or daughter now?
Yeah. In the story. Yeah. I don't think he really is, because I think he's like 30 something and she's like 18. She's 18. Yeah. she's a kid. Like, I don't think I haven't really been.
I'd
say Daniel Bryan is probably the most realistic. And then Rollins is like my possibility show. And Cesaro is the one I want.
Yeah.
Charlotte for the women's then.
I don't think so. I think because Charlotte's kind of doing this thing with Lacey Evans and Ric Flair at the moment.
Yeah,
so,
the creepy thing. Yeah.
Where Ric Flair's, you know, sleeping with Lacey Evans is essentially the story. Like,
I would love to see Bianca Belair win.
That's who I think is going to be the women's.
Is she not injured? Did I not? I thought I read something yesterday that she's torn ligaments in her ankle or something.
Oh, did you? I didn't read that. Don't say I try to avoid anything news related.
Yeah.
In case something just popped up and it was like injured or something.
Yeah, you could be right. But I hope she's not, because I think she's money and I think this is her year to win.
Yeah.
She came into it last year, didn't she?
Yeah.
She came in last year. She had a really good showing.
This is the year for her.
It's her or possibly Rhea Ripley.
She's had her coming up as well, isn't she? Sorry to cut across you there.
She hasn't actually come up yet, but like she's on that cusp. So I think it's her or I think it's Rhea or Bianca, I think, this year. Because I can't think of anyone else.
If Rhea wins it. Oh, yeah. Charlotte's in the Royal Rumble as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thinking of what are the storylines, programs.
Yeah. It's a hard one because obviously you've still got, you know, a couple of months to Mania with two pay-per-views in between. So it's hard to predict what's going to happen there. But yeah, like I think Bianca's nearly a dead cert.
Is your one Shayna Baszler still around?
Yeah. What a pity.
They kind of let the ball drop with her big time, sadly.
That finish that with her and Becky was brilliant, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Where nobody expected it.
Yeah. But that's the thing. She is now, they did a really good job with her. And then after the whole Becky thing, they were just kind of like, okay, that's fine. And Vince doesn't like her, apparently.
The thing that gets me, though, is like, I know she was a UFC fighter and whatnot, but stop wearing the fucking stupid mouth guard.
I know, yeah.
I think that works into her gimmick, to be fair.
I find it stupidly annoying. I don't know why. I just find it stupidly annoying.
Probably it's the way she puts it in and bares her teeth and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but I think that works because it's like Jericho with the, you know, the top knot ponytail. It's cheap. Like it annoys people. And I think that's why she does it. I think she's just like, this is something that'll annoy people that I do this. Like, I'll just keep doing it.
Like it'd work great if she was like an unbeaten UFC star or something that came across.
And that's what she was in NXT.
She wasn't that good.
That's what she was in NXT, though. Like in NXT, Shayna Baszler was a monster.
Monster.
When I first seen her in NXT, I was looking at it and I was like, I watched Amanda Nunes tear you apart.
Yeah, but Amanda Nunes tore everyone.
But Amanda Nunes wasn't big at that stage.
I know, but she wasn't big, but she was still Amanda Nunes. She was tearing everyone apart.
She is. She would go down as probably the best female ever.
Yeah, absolutely.
Baszler's the one that they really did drop the ball on, and apparently Vince just doesn't like her, unfortunately. But she's a monster. Book her like you did in NXT, and you've got a women's star for the rest of your life.
Absolutely. And in terms of the fellas, the men's Royal Rumble, I think Daniel Bryan will win it.
I think he's nearly a dead cert, yeah.
I would like to see either Shinsuke or, as you said, Cesaro. They'd be my favorite, one of my favorites. But I do think Daniel Bryan will win it.
There has been talk that Edge is going to be, but I was like, who does Edge face if he wins?
Yeah, because Randy doesn't have a title, and he is going to be fighting.
I think the main event is, or the WrestleMania match is Edge and
Orton.
I think that they do that again, like number three.
They had an absolute smasher in the Last Man Standing one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then they had the second match, so they need that. So Edge won the first one, Orton wins the second, and now you have to have that third one. So unless you're going to make Randy the champion, it doesn't make sense to have Edge win it. That's the only reason I don't think, but they could easily go that way.
Well, they could still fight each other when he's back then. Once he's not injured, they could start up their program again. Well, I don't know if it depends on what happens with The Fiend, of course.
Yeah, exactly, and that's the other thing. Orton's already tied up kind of with The Fiend. So if Edge wins the Royal Rumble, then he's gone off to chase the championship, and then Orton's off with The Fiend, then when do you get the third match?
Edge screws Orton over with The Fiend.
That could happen.
Edge goes heel.
Ooh, that would be interesting.
That could happen.
Yeah, he wouldn't be adverse to it. We all know. Yeah, but we'll wrap it up there, since we don't actually have any more retro memories, and we've given our short predictions. Again, thanks for coming on again, Greg, and thanks for making your first, but certainly not last, appearance, Carl.
Nice, and thanks for having me on, actually. Yeah.
If you want to just give yourself we'll let you have a quick little plug in there, Carl. Go on.
Okay, well, my show is King Rose Court on the Dynamo Podcast Network, and it's all about Irish metal. I mainly talk to Irish metal bands, and we share stories, because I'm in a band myself, And I would have played with a lot of these guys over the years. So it's sharing stories of our experiences live or recording or whatever like that. So it's just basically shining a light on Irish metal. And you can find it on the Dynamo Podcast Network exclusively.
Yeah. Great show. And the Irish metal scene is one of the, like, it's one that, like, obviously all the scenes are kind of down at the moment because, you know, you can't do anything.
Yeah.
You can't play gigs. You can't really go and record because, you know, you can't meet up with someone to record, like, to practice new music and stuff. So this is the next best thing to, you know, hear some of the road story. Well, I say road stories, like, you aren't touring, you know, the way Guns N' Roses, you're not touring like Guns N' Roses were, but, you know, they're local road stories. So you're going to hear names like Fibbers and, you know, places anything, in town that you're going to know.
Anything outside your own county is touring.
yeah, pretty much, yeah.
But, like, you'll hear all these stories of, you know, when you played in Fibbers. And Fibbers is one of the best places to go see a band.
Absolutely. Because I don't think I've ever been there.
You have been to Fibbers, Greg, because you went to see Fozzy and Fibbers with me.
Oh, is that where it was?
That's where it was. Fibbers is where we went to see it. And it's this really low stage.
Brilliant.
And you're right up there. You're right up there. And when you get a good couple, like, you get a couple of, like, 100 people in there, unreal. Like,
there's nothing like it when you're playing it. And there's, like, that's...
Yeah, I can only imagine if you're actually playing the adrenaline because you're so close to the crowd. Like, obviously, if you're on a stage where you're quite far away, you still get that bit of adrenaline from the crowd. But I'd say being that close to the crowd and, like, being able to see individual faces and see it's people brilliant. Like screaming your lyrics at the top of your head. Oh, I can't imagine it. But obviously that's what you and all the boys talk about,
and we'll throw in a bit of wrestling here and there.
Yeah, why not?
Just bits and bobs and talking about favorite albums and all that kind of stuff, you know. So again, it's basically, like you said, I haven't been able to rehearse my band. I've several bands. Mm. I've been able to do anything with them in nearly a year now.
Yeah.
So now, this is why King Rose Court is back up and running. I used to only do it like once a month.
Yeah.
But now it's weekly now. So I'm like, yeah, we got to keep it going. You know, just to keep everyone kind of positive and
keep everyone, you know, keep the names.
Exactly.
Keep the names out there. And then hopefully when we do get back, it'll help the scene. It'll help everyone. Yeah. You know, people will have heard new bands. You know, you might be into the Irish metal scene, but you don't, just because you're in the scene doesn't mean you get to hear all the bands. Exactly. You know, some bands you'll hear because you'll go to a gig here, other bands you won't hear because they played in Cork or they play somewhere else.
Yeah.
And you don't really travel unless you already know the band. You're not traveling down to, you know, across a county, across the country to listen to some, oh, I'm gonna go watch this metal gig down there. I don't know anyone playing. Like, you're not gonna do that. It's not like that.
No.
But this way you can hear some of their music, you can hear some of their stories, and it's a great way to get into new local, maybe not new, but, like, you know, new to you.
Yeah,
local music, which should always be supported.
Thanks. And it's just a chat between friends, you know. That's what it is. And before lockdown, we used to do it in here, in the cart, in the kitchen, and it was even more down to earth. Do you know what I mean?
More banter when you're able to be beside each other, because you can you really get the buzz off each other then.
Yeah. I look forward to the days when we can do that kind of stuff again, and even when we can do crossover podcasts face to face. They're going to be great.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to them as well, but we'll wrap it up there. Thanks very much and good luck. Well, it's time for that part of the show that you all love, the advertisements for our sponsors. I know. None of us really like listening to these, but the truth is that we wouldn't be able to bring you this content without them. So let's just get down to it. First off, Wrestling Mania, the top floor of Stephen's Green Shopping Centre. Really good shop for all of your wrestling needs, whether that's DVDs, title belts, pop figurines, other collectibles, T-shirts. And if you like boxing and MMA, he has stuff there for you too. If he doesn't have something that you want, you can ask him. He'll order it in. No problems. Really nice guy, the owner of this shop. So get on down to Wrestling Mania on the top floor of Stephen's Green Shopping Centre. Oh, what's that? A pandemic? Well, that doesn't mean he's closed. Catch him on Facebook. Just send him a message. He'll sort you out. No problems asked. And our other sponsor, Peter Hart Graphics. Now, this guy has done most of, if not all of, the graphics for the Dynamo's Podcast Network. Really good stuff, guys. Seriously, this is top quality stuff. And he doesn't charge a bomb for it, which is the greatest part. If you need any sort of graphic designed, it's peterhartgraphics@gmail.com. That's Peter, P-E-T-E-R, Hart, H-A-R-T-E, graphics, G-R-A-P-H-I-C-S @gmail.com. This guy is the easiest person I've ever worked with when it comes to making a graphic. You give him your ideas, he'll come back with something similar to what you wanted. And then if it might be exactly what you want, and if it's not, he is so open to criticism and tweaks, and he'll be back to you as soon as you give him what you want updated on that. This is easy, easy stuff to get done. But actually, if you tried to do it yourself, you'd realize just how difficult it is to make it look smooth and clean. Not a problem with Peter Hart Graphics. Check out his stuff on his Facebook page, Peter Hart Graphics.